Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 317 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strauss, and with me, as always, is not Luke Cruiser. So I shouldn't have said always, but even better, I've got more than a reasonable substitute. I've got a substantial upgrade in the form of the host of the Star Wars Spelt Out podcast, Josh Chapman.
Hey there. Welcome to the first episode of the Josh and Eric Show.
Yeah,
we're taking over. Let alone the 17th of the Bad Motivators.
Yeah, we're the good
motivators. Next week, and Cruiser will come back next week and be like, welcome to the second episode of the Josh and Eric Show with guest host Luke Cruiser.
It'd serve him right, honestly. But how you been, man?
I've been good. Yeah, the sun is still shining down here. Summer refuses to die in Australia. So we had a long weekend here. So we went down, we hit the beach yesterday with the family. We did our own episode of Bluey, the beach. We were down there surfing and swimming and nice. And doing all that stuff. And it was really good. Yeah. So, yeah, it's nice. I keep threatening to cover my pool up and go like, that's it. Summer's done. And then it goes, oh, it's going to be 35 degrees on Saturday. So pool rolls on. So yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah.
We have the exact opposite thing happening here with winter. Right? It's because it's winter refuses to go. We'll have a string of days where it's like 70 degrees out, which is very comfortable. And then like today, it was, well, I guess about 1 degree Celsius here and just damp air, and it sucks. And it's like, come on, throw me a bone, man. It's almost like having that nice weather just made this seem even worse. But yeah.
That's just, I just always think of snow day at Chicago Celebration when I think of cold American weather. It still scarred me. You know, I lived in England for years and we'd have cold days and stuff, but that one just, and I know you're not a million miles from Chicago, so I just feel like that when you say bad weather, that's just what you're getting basically.
It's honestly pretty similar. I mean, we're about like a 5-hour drive from where Celebration was to my house, south, just straight south. But it's real similar. Now, we don't have that lake effect snow like they get, but so, hey, real quick, speaking of the Bluey thing, man, Josh, if you guys don't know, also hosts an amazing Peppa Pig podcast. How's things going over there?
It's going good. Yeah, we basically took the summer off, as is our way. And so we just sat there and did no episodes for ages. But for some reason, they just keep downloading. So I think just because it doesn't really matter if you come in late. Like it's not like The Last of Us. It's not like if you missed the last episode of Peppa Pig, you've got to get the next one and people are watching the schedule. So I think people just download them anyway. So we seem to even get more downloads and we don't put out new episodes. But we've been pretty good this year since we've come back. So we're almost finished season 3. And then we get into season 4. And I think there are at least 2 more seasons after that. I don't know if I have a feeling Peppa got bought out by like a bigger company.
Oh yeah. Which
like almost got like Disneyfied, which also means that they'll go like, hey, it's never ending.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to be doing it forever. So Matt and I are going to be in our 60s still doing Peppa Pig.
Well, I'll be in my 60s doing Bluey, but that'll be next year. So that seems about right. I'm just kidding, people. I'm not even 50 yet. Very close though. Well, that's cool, man. Doing a kids show like that, you know, but it's also got a lot of content for adults is fun. We've had a ton of fun with Dinner with the Healers and like the emails we get from people loving it. And I don't know, man, there's just something nice about it. I really enjoy it. And like you said, the episodes, every week, Apple Podcasts ranks them by popularity. When you go and look, it's episodes by popularity. So the episodes with the most downloads just keep getting more downloads when new people show up. And it's wild for me to see like what they're getting up to now. So it's pretty nice.
Oh, look, it's such a good show. I mean, we talked about doing when Bluey first came out, you know, we sort of went, oh, maybe we should do a Bluey show because it's so good. But we're just a bit too, I don't know, cynical. I don't think our brand of humor works with Bluey just because it's so good. Uh-huh. We can't really pick holes in it on that point of view. Like we can kind of talk to the ridiculousness of Peppa and kind of make fun of the universe. But Bluey is just a bit too good. And, you know, the Bluey podcast ladies who do that do such a good job, and you guys, and it's just, it seemed, you know, the horse is bolted. You had to either be there at the very start, I think, for us, and got an angle. But I think the way you, I mean, I love what you guys do, and I just love how you don't get the Australian references. I love that so much. That's my favorite thing. Like, sometimes you're really close, and then sometimes you're almost, yeah.
Well, that's why I always bring it up, you know? Like, what's this word? What's this do? What's this mean? There are some good Bluey podcasts out there. So people check them out. But definitely check out Dinner with the Healers first. Well, one day maybe I'll just go and live in Australia, and then it'll all make sense to me. So that's my goal.
I think you definitely should.
So speaking of Australian references, one of the things, and I meant to bring this up earlier, there was the claw machine, Magic Claw episode, and Bluey hands...
Days are fun and full of... Yep.
Yeah.
It's,
yep. She has
Days are free and easy.
Yes, yes. Magic Claw has no children. So she hands mom or dad, I can't remember which one at the time. No, it had to be dad because mom wasn't taking real money. A 20-cent coin. And I thought, is that an actual thing? Or is that just, you know, what they had on the cartoon? And so we looked it up. And according to Wikipedia, it is indeed a thing. And it is called a quinter. However...
Oh, hang on, what?
Yeah.
Hang on. What the hell's a quinter? We definitely have 20 cent coins.
Now I'm embarrassed. I'm going to have to go and edit that episode out to.
Well, maybe it's a Northern States thing, but we have different, like in a state, like if you have like a different beer sizes and things like that, like if you get a smaller beer in Victoria, it's called a pot. And if you go to another state, it's called a midi. And things like that. So there's different colloquialisms for different states, but I've never heard quinter.
I got to look this up now. We're going to look it up right now. This is what you people come to the motivators for right here.
I think the other Australians that we know might be out, and they are from different states. Maybe they can shed some light on it, but I've never heard quinter.
Okay, so ever. I'm looking at Wikipedia, and it says the Australian 20-cent coin, whoosh, quinter, of the Australian decimal currency system was issued with conversion, blah, 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 blah.
It's got a platypus on it.
Is that what it's got on there? Yep, it sure does. I hadn't looked at the picture yet. Here's something interesting, though, while we're talking about this. Guess if you're familiar with the format of Wikipedia, guess what it says next to quinter? Citation needed. So some butthole.
Well, there you go. Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Wikipedia, for making me look like an idiot on my Bluey podcast. But so
we only go down to five now. We got rid of ones and twos. So the lowest denomination coin in Australia is 5 cents now. So
that's how it's
9.95, 8.95. Yeah. Like two and ones. We used to have two and ones. They're gone. We don't need them anymore.
Well, yeah, we have, I mean, the pennies. And apparently there was like a penny shortage during COVID. It's like nobody's using cash. Everybody's using debit cards. How is there a coin shortage? But anyhow, so listen, Josh is heading to Celebration London. I am not. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But before we get there, we're going to talk about this right here. Oh, yeah. Well, the guest always gets to go first. So, Josh, did you get anything?
I kind of did. I was down at my parents' house over the long weekend. And what you inadvertently end up doing when you're at your parents' house for more than a day or two is you start digging around the cupboards and things and the wardrobes and the closets and stuff. And that's how I found my pop-up R2 that I thought was gone forever, that had just been sitting in the bottom of a box for years and years and years. But he's been out for a while. But I found a box of stuff that I'd had from before when I moved to England, which was in 2005, and it had a bunch of like school stuff in it. But at the bottom I found, I'm going to pull these up, good for video.
Listen, Cruiser and I do this all the time.
I've found all of these expanded universe books.
Nice.
So like, 8 of them, which I'm 99% sure belonged to my friend Seamus, who I borrowed off and just never gave them back. And then they've been sitting at least 20 years ago, I think I borrowed these books.
Oh, wow. So
there's some Timothy Zahns here. I won't go through all of them, but there's some of the Vision of the Future, Last Command, Dark Force Rising, Jedi Watch, Children of the Jedi, Dark Apprentice, yeah. So they're looking a little bit like they've been sitting in a cupboard for 20 years, but there you go. I don't know whether I'll bust them out and start reading again, but some people will get put billboards up over these books, Eric. Don't you understand?
I have a stack of EU books that somebody, my wife, when she worked at this vet clinic, one of the other technicians there had been to a garage sale and found this box of hardcover EU books. And also the novelization of Revenge of the Sith, which I keep swearing I'll read, but haven't. King Tom has recommended it to me countless times. But he was also real sold on Darth Plagueis too. So I take that recommendation with a grain of salt as well. But that's cool though, man. That like finding stuff you thought was gone is a get. So
it had I found a PC, like Lucasfilm Archives CD-ROM collection as well. It had like a bunch of, I think it had like TIE Fighter, Dark Forces, Jedi Knight, all on CD-ROM, like in a sort of pack together.
Oh, that's cool.
But I was like, what am I really going to do with that? So I just left it in the box and put it back in the cupboard for another 10 years when I discovered it again and think that I've found it for the first time.
Yeah, I had a whole bunch of stuff like that at my dad's. And like the one cool thing I found was Raiders of the Lost Ark, like behind the scenes thing that I think, I don't know, man, I had to have gotten it whenever I was fifth or sixth grade, something like that. So, you know, that was 1,000 years ago. But another thing I found was some original thing from the Star Wars fan club, like the official Lucasfilm Star Wars fan club. And they put out this little publication like 4 times a year, I think. And, oh man, those were the days. But I mean, it didn't have anything cool, but.
I had King Tom on the pod recently and he talked about as a kid begging his dad to join up to the Star Wars fan club so he could get an Empire Strikes Back poster. And I think it turned out to be the Lucasfilm fan club and they sent him a Willow poster or something instead. And he was just, so I think he's got, I think the conversation came up to like, have you watched Willow yet? And I think Tom is still carrying the scars.
Yeah, sure I could see where that would be. I mean, that guy had a rough childhood, man, between the fake out trips to Disney World and the whole bit. But,
very nice that we got to be there for Disney. Well, when we were in Anaheim, we caught up with you and Araj and Tom out the gates of Disneyland. And he finally got to walk through the doors.
Yeah. I mean, I had never been close, so it meant a lot to me, but not as much as it did to him. One of the cool things I found at my dad's was from the Star Wars fan club was this folder that had some like 8x10 black and white glossies of movie scenes. They were pretty cool. No autographs, but so, okay. I got something. It's not very Star Warsy. As a matter of fact, it's not Star Warsy at all, but I got a new soldering iron for my soldering station because my other one was giving me fits. And, you know, I'm busily working on a lightsaber for Hawes, which will be done just very shortly. And I needed that new soldering pencil. So there it is. How rock and roll is that?
Where were you when I needed my pool heater repaired a few months ago?
Probably
where I had to
here.
Replace the display screen fried in the board.
Oh.
And I had to try and it was going to cost me like $800 to replace the whole board. And then I found the part, but I had to find a guy locally who could take the other one out and put the other one in. And I did soldering in high school, but I'm looking like maybe I could just figure this out. I'm like, you're going to break the whole thing. Just pay someone to do it.
Listen. It's not for the faint of heart. Cruiser and I were talking about his Xbox, the HDMI port broke. And I watched a video on how to replace it. Yeah, that's not just a normal, hey, grab a soldering iron and do this. This is some advanced stuff, man. So you probably made the right decision.
Yeah.
But,
I think it was an older Xbox too, wasn't it? I don't think it was the new one.
Yeah, it was his new one of his new ones. But so he has the Series S.
Really?
And then he has the smaller Series S. And that was the one it happened on.
That's worth it. Otherwise, I've been like, just go to Facebook Marketplace and get a secondhand one.
If it had
done with it and hope it lasts.
Yeah. Speaking of which, if anybody wants to buy my Xbox One X, I'm going to put it up for sale. The thousands of hours of Red Dead played on that Xbox, if that makes it any more. I mean, you're not going to get Red Dead Redemption with it. It's going to be factory wiped, but, you know, hey, hit me up.
Is that like clocks on a car when they go, oh, it's done 700 miles? It's like, oh, this is this Xbox has done 90 days straight of Red Dead. Oh,
yeah. It's thousands of shots fired. So, Josh, let's talk first thing. Celebration's coming up. And now you're headed out. Are you making a whole like 2-week trip like you have with the past celebrations or?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the difference is this time is that my partner Kat's coming. So they sort of announced London, you know, they do like the end of Anaheim, like the very last day they say, you know, we'll see you in London, blah, 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 blah. And then I came home back to Melbourne after that and greeted my family. And then pretty much the first thing I said was, so they're doing it in London next year. You know, and being that, you know, she's awesome, she's like, oh, well, that will be great, you know, because I used to live in London. I lived in London for 10 years and I haven't been back since. So she's just like, oh, that would be amazing. You'll get to go do that and see friends and blah, blah. And then I just said, well, why don't you just come with me? So that's what's happening. So she's got no interest in Star Wars Celebration, but she gets to be in London for 4 or 5 days, you know, seeing shows, going to museums. She knows a few of my old London friends as well. So she will just, and she goes like, I'll come for the drinks afterward, but I don't need to be at the convention.
Well, that's cool, man. Good on you. That's a bummer because I would love to meet her, you know. But you're going to have to
bring the family out for a holiday. Oh, dude. Yeah. So we're doing that for the first week, and then we're going to Portugal for a few days in the second week.
Oh, wow.
Just so we can have a trip. So because Lisbon's about 2 hours from London, and then back to London for a couple of days at the end. I'm going to a soccer match and seeing some other friends, and then we fly home. So it's really like 2 weeks. We had to negotiate with the grandparents to take the children and because it's over school holidays and everything.
I was going to ask that.
It's just taken this long to negotiate, yeah. We left everything quiet. Here's a money-saving tip for you, Eric. Don't buy a flight to London at the last minute over the school holidays if you want to save some cash.
I bet.
So,
I mean, you've been all over the place. It's going to be great. That's cool, man. I'm stoked for you. I am. Like, I'm finally managed to get to the point where the jealousy has worn off. I don't feel as angry about it, but I do wish I could.
The happy for people stage.
Yeah, exactly. For now.
Well, there's this, I was checking out my Airbnb again the other day, just making sure it's all fine and, you know, just looking and going, all right, what's it look like from the photos? And it's got like a trestle bed fold out thing in the lounge room, Eric. So you've just got to get yourself a plane ticket, mate. And you can sleep on the floor. Catherine Neen's going to be sharing the flat with me and Kat. So we're going to have, there'll be some friendly faces. So I'm waiting for the last minute messaged, you know, like 2 days before celebration, someone's going to go, I just booked a flight. I got a ticket. I've just decided I'm going to come. Can I sleep on your floor? I'm like, yeah, as long as it's someone I know.
Well, I did enter the Xbox trip to London contest. And I don't know if, I'm sure they've announced the winners by now, because it's travel and everything included and spending money.
It's not based on hours, Red Dead hours. It's a game of chance, not a game of skill.
Yeah, if it was, I would already have everybody. Bag packed. Yeah, sorry, Strouders won for sure. But what are you most looking forward to there?
Definitely seeing old friends. You know, I spent a long time there. We're staying in the area that I lived in most of the time for the days of celebration. So just trying to going back to like, you know, places you used to go and seeing people, just seeing what's changed, what hasn't changed, getting the bonus of Star Wars Celebration. I think it'll be a little bit different because, you know, like Anaheim, when there was obviously more people, Anaheim and Chicago, and, you know, Disney was around Anaheim, so everything was kind of based around that. London, I think we've got a smaller crew, so I think it'll be, once the con's kind of done, I think we'll probably go like, let's just go out to dinner, let's go out to the pub, whether we sort of do these after-hour events and things, we'll just have to see what there is. But I think it'll be more like once the doors close on the con, we'll be like, hey, let's go down here. This cool place is down here and let's do this. But I wish I had more time. But in this day and age, getting 2 weeks to be away from my kids on holiday is pretty good.
Listen, and it'll be good.
Like, so I'm looking I'm looking forward to it. I it's going to be a fun one, I think. And I think just it'll be a little bit different. It'll be a shame that there's not going to be people there, but you always have a few magical moments at celebration, as you know.
Oh, sure. Sure. Well, I'm happy for you, man. I want to hear all about it. I'm sure we will. You'll do your classic Josh Chapman several pod episodes from the convention. Oh,
I hope so. I'm kind of hoping that I'm going to do it, but then like we've been doing these Mandalorian recaps and they're going to completely butt up. So I could do a Mandalorian recap one day and then 5 days of celebration blogs and then another, like it'll be like seven podcasts. Nobody wants that.
Oh, nobody sure they do.
All that content. But I'm hoping that because so many people are missing out in the States that there's a bit of pressure to make the blog pods interesting. So we'll see how we go.
Well, so luckily
you've been on a few of those struthers.
The pressure of being like interesting to people in this podcast has completely gone out the window. There's no pressure at all. The expectations are super low. So we really don't care what we do. It's all a thing. But well, speaking of The Mandalorian, let's talk about the most recent episode, which, like we always say, by the time this episode of this podcast is available to listen to, there will be a new episode of The Mandalorian and nobody will give a crap about the one we're going to talk about. But we're talking about the episode 2 of season 3, where Din Djarin heads off to Mandalore. Josh, tell me what you made of it.
I thought it was a great improvement over the previous week. Not that I didn't enjoy the first episode, the first one that came back, but I think it might have been the weakest episode ever of The Mandalorian. I don't know whether that's because the standard's quite high or I just kind of felt it was a bit directionless. And I think I'm still carrying the baggage of bringing Grogu back in the Book of Boba Fett as well and how they'd kind of written themselves in a corner, which yeah. They still kind of have. It's kind of weird because I took Kat likes The Mandalorian. She had no interest in Book of Boba Fett. And I had to convince her to say, hey, I think we need to watch these episodes before we get to The Mandalorian, which she sort of begrudgingly accepted to do. And then once, you know, Grogu turned up, she was sort of in. But she was just going like, I can't believe they put all this in this other show. Like, why did they do this? I'm like, well, that's just what they did. That was the thing. But it was funny, actually, because as soon as, like, she was watching that and all the Grogu stuff, but as soon as we cut away from Grogu in that show, I could see her eyes, like, glancing down to her phone. She had no interest in what was going on with the Pike Syndicate or the any of that kind of stuff. I thought it was good. I thought it got some focus back. I like that hopefully they've resolved this. I need to atone myself in the waters of Mandalore to be a man. Like, I'm glad that's done now. I had a feeling this might be a 9 episodes to get there. And then at the end he gets out and he's done it. But hopefully this means that now he's done it, he's probably going to find it's not really going to make his life any easier or any better than it was before.
Yeah, that's my guess too. I thought it was cool seeing the Mythosaur. I didn't expect to have that happen in this episode. And
although I've got a bone to pick with that. Sorry, Eric.
Go on. Let's have it.
When you drop the word Mythosaur in the recap, I'm expecting to see a Mythosaur in the episode.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And they said it like 20 times.
I know. And I was like, oh, we're gonna, like, great, but you could have just left that and I probably would have forgot most likely that they might have showed up. But anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
No, I totally get it. They've made a lot of interesting, and I'm too lazy to put air quotes around it, but I'm putting air quotes around interesting choices. You know, Favreau's been interviewed, did that round table for whatever video podcast that was, where he talked about how it's been 2 years that Grogu was with Luke. And I went back and checked to see what he actually said, and that's what he said. Not that it's been 2 years since the end of season 2 of The Mandalorian, but he was with Luke for 2 years. And then he's like, well, maybe I didn't say that. Did I say that? That's not what I said. And it's like, oh my gosh, come on. Don't you have this together any better than this? I was a little surprised that happened.
Do you think it's the success of the show? I don't know. I mean, how can you be surprised by the success of a Star Wars show? But is it just how streaming works that so much stuff gets cancelled on streaming that they only ever really looked one season ahead and kind of got to the end of the second season and knew that they had a hit and then went, oh, we've already committed that we're going to do this thing and now we're just going to have to head. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know we said now, like, hey, I hope it goes forever. I've got season 3 written and blah, blah, blah. But I'm sure that when they did that first one, that wasn't the case.
Right. Well, with the way that they ended season 2, by that point, I mean, they were very aware that there was some heat behind this show. I mean, the Grogu merchandise alone, it was a Baby Yoda was a household name for people who weren't even hip to Star Wars on Disney Plus at all. Boom. Oh my gosh, we have to see this. And so I can't imagine that there's any angle you could take where they were unaware of the magnitude of what they had with this, even from a cash perspective. But to have it end, to have the season two end the way it did with Luke Skywalker showing up in such dramatic fashion and taking Grogu, but then having the very next episode of the show, he's just back with Din like no bigs, you know?
But it was the perfect ending. It was a perfect ending. If it had been a two, you know, like they said, like Andor, it was just going to be two series and that's the end and the rest is ambiguous. You know, obviously they've got dangling threads that they probably wouldn't have left if they'd known for sure. But it just felt like it could have ended so perfectly. Maybe you could go off another direction. But even like the fact that he came back this, you know, that first episode of season three, and he's just back and it's like, sorry. But you could have easily have just pivoted those key plot points into the first episode of The Mandalorian and not had Grogu at the very start. Because like everyone kind of felt like, all right, if they're coming back for another season, he'll be in it if you are going to continue. But you could have just – I just found he had issues with his motivation. Like why did he want to become a Mandalorian again? Was it – and you could have pivoted that into him going, all right, well, I want to get the kid back. I want him to be a Mandalorian. I need to get in with the covenant again or the COVID again or whatever they're called. So therefore, I need to be a Mandalorian again. Therefore, there is my motivation for doing these things. Like a little bit of that I think probably would have helped, but I definitely went back on track. Like I like the idea that Mandalore is kind of habitable.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean everybody goes, oh, looks like Mandalore's back on the menu. Let's all try, like the Imperial Remnants, the New Republic, the Mandalorians, everybody's scrambling for Mandalore now. Like I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope that's where it goes.
Yeah, me too. That's spot on. I think that there's a lot of potential there. Yeah, because Mandalore is like among the nerd circles we run in, that's like a most revered name. It's Mandalore. What's that going to be like? What does it equate to? And so to see it in the fashion.
Kind of a shithole, really, though.
Yeah, oh, it is. It definitely is. It's like going back to my old hometown going, what happened here? My old hometown isn't that bad.
Struthers left at all.
Yeah, it all went to hell. But so like one of the things I really liked, there's a lot of goofiness in this season so far, which like in an unapologetic Star Wars fashion, which I think is cool. But I did like seeing the super creepy design of the creatures, not so much the like the caveman creatures in Mandalore, but the like the spider robot thing with the other
thing. General Grievous guy.
Yeah. I thought that was really neat.
Did you think for a second it might be General Grievous? And we're like, oh my God, they're going there. Like they're
never,
you're just waiting for the
it never occurred to me. And I'm glad because I probably would have just been like turned it off before it even managed to happen. Did you think that's what it was going to be?
For a split second, just the way it moved and even the eye was quite similar.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, my logic brain kind of went, you know, like, no, that surely can't happen. Like, and it's kind of funny because obviously he drives a Naboo N1 starfighter. So it's probably the most blatant prequel nod that we've had in the show. Mm-hmm. Like it's been very, you know, leans so heavily on the original trilogy. And then like you've got this Naboo N1 starfighter that's like so prequel, you just plop it in and it's like prequels. But General Grievous would have been an absolutely next level. You know, that would have just, that might have broke people's brains, I think. I think that might have been a tipping point for some people who have just been like, oh my God, like what is happening down there?
Yeah.
But it was cool design nonetheless.
Oh, for sure. But one thing, you know, we say a lot because of Star Wars is eventually, or at least I say it, is that dead has to mean dead. And because they'll kill somebody off and then regret it and bring them, find some manner in which to bring them back. But once it stops involving like the Force, how do you justify it?
Yeah.
How do you write it? Of course, I guess, you know, General Grievous is, he's really more machine than man, literally. So I guess you could have done something.
He fried up pretty bad though, didn't he, really?
Like, yeah.
I like to think that Obi-Wan, like, you know, he always sort of shoots him and gets up and goes to the like, we just don't see him sort of just kick him off the edge of that platform at the end as well, just to make double sure.
Right. That seems to be actually one thing in Star Wars they never do, is like, just make sure. make sure they're dead. Shoot them again while they're down, you know, that kind yeah. of thing.
Take but. A trophy. Like, you should have taken that Grand Grievous helmet face thing and, you know,
yeah.
held it up and like, ugh.
Yeah, buddy. Like Predator style, man, when he pulls the yeah. skull out. That's what he should have done.
Strap it to the front of the fighter or like, he's, you know, like a hood ornament sort of thing. What's that? That's General Grievous's helmet, yeah. I shot him in the guts.
So what do you think is going to happen in this next episode? Any ideas?
I have a feeling we're going to veer off. I don't think we're going to go directly repercussions related directly to this. As in, like, I think, you know, the repercussions being that, you know, Bo-Katan sees the Mythosaur, sees that Mandalore is habitable. You, mm-hmm. you know, there is a prize for the planet. I think she was sort of obsessed with ruling the people. Now she can sort of rule the planet and the people. I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe we'll go back to the Grief Karga kind of stuff. Maybe the pirates will come back. I've got a feeling we're going to detour a little bit. I feel like they're going to try to drag this Mandalore thing out a little bit. I kind of feel like the pirate stuff's not quite resolved. But we'll see. I'd like it to kind of stay focused, but we've still got another 6 or 7 episodes. So, yeah.
Do you think that Bo-Katan's going to end up with the Darksaber? And how's that going to happen?
Well, we were talking about this when we were doing the recaps. Catherine and I were talking about this. Of like, does she technically own it now? Because I'm going to keep calling him General Grievous now. General Grievous basically disarms Jin with the saber.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he tries to get it and then he falls on the ground. And then she beats him. So is she technically the legitimate holder of the Darksaber now? Like, there's actually a moment at the end where he gets ready to get in the water and he's kind of grabbing his stuff and he grabs the Darksaber and kind of puts it on his belt. And there is a shot of Bo-Katan kind of looking like, I think that might belong to me now, technically. But I kind of feel like she would just say, can I have it now?
Right.
You know, I legitimately got it. Because I don't think previously anyway, he was indifferent about having it. If it just meant that people could just get along.
Yeah.
But, she's definitely one. I mean, if anything, now it's going to make her more determined because there's a planet at stake.
Yeah.
And she thinks she can get up on that Mythosaur. I mean, we're obviously careening towards a moment of competing forces on the surface of Mandalore and then a crack in the ground and somebody on a giant Mythosaur busting out of the bottom of the ground, waving a Darksaber around.
Right.
Whether that's Din Djarin or Grogu or Bo-Katan or whoever it's going to be. I feel like that's a, you know, we're going to see a Dave Filoni sketch somewhere in a few months' time where he's like, yeah, this is where I drew the Mythosaur coming out of the ground with Din Djarin riding it and Grogu on his shoulder with his little helmet on. And sorry, my Dave Filoni's not very good.
It's obviously not bad, not drunk enough. I always enjoy your impressions, man. They're very good. Now, so were you getting any of the Grogu looking at Bo-Katan with the "Are you going to be my new mom?" sort of vibes?
I mean, people can ship whatever they want to ship. I'm all for that. I don't know. I feel like maybe that they've softened a little bit between them, but I feel like there's still ultimately a conflict in the middle. So, you know, it might even be that she goes, "That's his weak spot. If he won't give up that Darksaber, that's how I have to get him to see things my way."
Oh yeah, I didn't like even think about
quite
that.
Driven that she'd use him as bait or leverage or something along those lines. I mean, they're kind of, buttering him up maybe that he'll just happily walk off with her if she asks him to.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
I feel like she's going to take a turn. She's got her resolve back now. She's not just sitting on that throne waiting for something to happen now. She's going to get a bit more proactive.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, because now there's a prize to grab. It's right there.
Mm.
She's seen it. She smelled it. She tasted it. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like nobody will support her without the Darksaber. All her mates just turned on her without a second thought, really.
That was disappointing to hear, man. You know, I was bummed out that they all just left her behind because of that. But
yeah. Harsh, really.
Yeah, it is.
And
gosh.
And does that include, like, what's her name? What's his Axe Woves and
Koska Reeves?
The Koska Reeves, all those guys I thought were her homies, and they're just like, yeah.
Without the Darksaber, see you later. Huh. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did think it was pretty cool how she was just like all large and in charge on that throne. Like she's just hanging out there for hours at a every day, just sitting there staring off into the
I just keep thinking of that. Actually, you'll get this reference. I kept thinking of that Metallica song, you know, that "Where's Your Crown, King Nothing?"
Yeah.
She's basically King Nothing. Mm-hmm. Like she's just somebody mix that in, somebody edit that in.
Maybe I should have done that.
The coveted load era, I think it was, or the reload era.
Which one was that on? Load or reload? Man, I can't remember. That would have been a good one, though. Are you watching Bad Batch?
Yeah. I'm digging Bad Batch. It's going in really interesting places and stuff that I was always curious about. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
This is just my personal take on it, but I was surprised that the Bad Batch was like darker and more mature feeling than the Mandalorian episode was this week. And in a good way.
Yeah, it's got a real focus. I think really like obviously it veers off into Adventure of the Week and there's always a little bit of that, but it's always had a really strong undercurrent of a sort of thread plot of basically what happens to these clones. What does it mean to be a clone? Like when the war's over and you're surplus to requirements, like what does it mean? And it was always good because there was always this misconception, you know, and even like jokes and stuff about like, oh, the stormtroopers are all clones and the reason the stormtrooper hits his head is because Jango Fett hit his head on a thing. And it was always this thing where people just assume that the clones became stormtroopers. But this is just way more interesting.
Yeah.
Of like, how do you basically just treat people once they're surplus to requirements, they just become less than people, basically.
Yeah, and I mean to see them as an asset that's worth less than other inanimate assets was harsh. And I was surprised. I had talked about, I really didn't think they could do much of anything to redeem Crosshair in my own eyes. Like I knew they could write whatever they wanted, but I didn't think that they would be able to turn me on to like feeling bad for him and humanize him, I guess is what the word I'm looking for. And I thought that the way that that episode played out, they did a good job with that of humanizing him and making me think that there could actually be a positive turn in him. But what's your take on it?
Yeah, well, he was always kind of like, even though he got treated, you know, some of the clones sort of looked down on him or whatever else, he still kind of had this sense of special treatment because he had a special ability. He was always treated slightly differently as well. Like he was Rampart's guy. He got sent on missions. He was like the specialist, even in the Bad Batch as well to a point. But I think he's just been sent down to grunt level or below grunt level now where he's just kind of like, well, who you are and what you did doesn't even mean anything anymore. Like I think that he was sort of like, well, a part of that good soldiers follows orders is that I'm somebody, I've got a worth and a value here and I'm still contributing and I'm still seen as even like better than the other clones in his mind, I think. You know, like they're kind of just whatever and now he's just the same, just could be easily disregarded. The fact his abilities don't make him any more valuable than anybody else as well. Right. So he's kind of had to learn this harsh lesson the hard way that I think the other guys all kind of realized earlier on. That they're all in the same boat. So, yeah, it's he's an interesting character. And I don't know, it kind of feels like it's the setup for to save the team sacrifice or something like that. Maybe that's where he ends up. But whether he can come back to the fold or not, who knows. But I don't know. Do you think they'll run? It feels like they can't. How many episodes has it got to go? I don't think it's going to wind up completely. I feel like it's got another season in it.
Yeah, I think it would just about hit. I want to say there's five more. Does that feel right? Hang on. Let me just look that up too. Boy, oh boy, we're crushing it.
You could, you know, if you really, really pushed it, you could wind it up. I don't know. I just feel like there's still so much we don't know, especially around Omega as well. And yeah, I mean, I worry about those clones. I mean, I feel like they're just going to get shipped off to some suicide mission or something really bad. Is they're just, you know, they're going to turn up to work one day and the door's locked and yeah, it's kind of harsh. I don't know how many are supposed to be left by this point, but It feels like they've just slowly just been thinning the numbers.
Yeah. I was having a hard time figuring that out watching it. You know what I mean? Of just trying to make an educated guess of what's left clone-wise. What kind of a burden is this really going to be on the system of them trying to support it and all of that? But then also, like, what's left story-wise that they've got to wrap up in this? I hope that it's more than... I hope that there's at least one more season. Because, like, the story with Omega is too... There's too much potential there to just spin it and wrap it up in the next few episodes. I can't see where it tells me how many episodes they're supposed to be in this season. But...
I mean, they're ultimately loyal, you know, the clones at their core, they're ultimately loyal to the Republic. You know,
right.
They're loyal to the Empire. And they're slowly, you know, more and more of them are starting to sort of realize that, you know, even though they had some chip in their head that made them go crazy when they saw a Jedi in the room, that, you know, they kind of served that purpose at that point when they needed to clear the Jedi all out at once. But they can't sort of, they're not autonomous, you know, clones can think independently. So eventually they're all starting to wake up that they probably did a really bad thing if they haven't already, or a lot of them have, which makes them dangerous because you've got an army that is no longer loyal. So I don't know. I just feel like they're going to be sent off to some planet that's going to get sucked into a black hole or something, or I don't know, something bad.
It looks like there's 4 episodes left. So by the time people can hear this, it looks like there's 3 episodes left because a new one will have come out.
Everything's been answered already.
Yeah. So
they're doing, I think they're doing really good work.
Yeah. I do too. I was surprised when the first season came out, how much I liked it, how much I was connected to it. And then in this season, I really like the clones of the Bad Batch. I think they're really cool. And I really have not that I didn't already find the individual clones unique in the Clone Wars, getting to see them like take on different personalities and changing their appearance in ways that they could to differentiate themselves from each other. But there's just something about what they've done with that in this. Like, just for example, having Mayhem with the beard, the big beard and all that stuff, because, you know, they're in the freezing cold and things like that. I think it's cool what they've done with it, because they've also continued to humanize the clones themselves, and for them to move past seeing themselves as just assets to the cause and human beings that they've got to figure out what to do with the rest of their life, facing retirement and everything they've ever known. That's just a cool slant. And the fact that they're taking that on in this form, in this animation, that I don't know. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to sort of continue that Clone Wars, you know, because it is basically a sequel series to the Clone Wars, and they're sort of, they do have clone-focused stories and stuff, but they are sort of in the background for a lot of it, while all the Jedi and everything are sort of forefront. And I just think it was a perfect, you know, thing that they kind of did. They kind of brought the Clone Wars back to finish those stories, upgraded all their technology, sort of did a soft reboot, and then continued a story with the investment that they made into those Clone Wars, because they redid all the models and everything, and and then you've got a series that you can run as well, and it's it's good. I just, you know, I'll be curious to see where they end up and where they leave it. But like you said, I think it's got another year in it, but then it's just this sort of, like, I think Omega will make it. I don't think they could kill off a little girl in Star Wars. I don't think we're quite there yet.
I hope not.
Although I just keep thinking, actually, just on a completely different tangent, I keep hearing that in that Picard show that Jean-Luc Picard dropped an F-bomb in it.
Really?
And, and there was all this sort of, like, you know, discourse online about, like, oh, get over it. Like, people swear all the time. It was appropriate for the context of the show and blah, blah, blah. And people are like, no. And I was just thinking, like, imagine if you were in a Star Wars show and someone dropped an F-bomb in a Star Wars thing. Like, because we've had M-rated Star Wars movies.
That would be pretty jarring.
Put one in.
Yeah.
That would be pretty jarring.
Yeah.
I'm not sure many characters could get away with it.
Yeah. So we've had... What have we had so far? We've had hell. They've said that.
Yep. I've had ass. You shift your ass.
Yes.
I think.
But I think that's been about it. But yeah, I think it would really stick out. I think it would catch me off guard. And I don't know, man. I'm happy for that.
South Park episode where they, have you seen that South Park episode where they say shit on TV for the first time and it just like the floodgates just open and then everybody just says it all the time in context for everything? Maybe that's how it would go down Star Wars.
Yeah, that's what they would do. They would just completely go off the rails until it didn't mean anything anymore. I want to see Omega. The trick with this stuff, and I know we've, in our community, we talk about this all the time. You're stuck with this great character that you don't want to see anything bad happen to, but then you have to somehow explain why they're not present in any of the future stuff that the entire galaxy's been part of. Like now, one of the things, I can't remember who I heard bring it up. They were like, okay, well now, why weren't there Mandalorian starfighters in the rally scene of The Rise of Skywalker when all the ships show up? Because if Mandalore's going to be rebuilt and all this stuff, what happens in between then and all of that? And
this is what you get with this, you know, this choppy Star Wars timeline where you chuck stuff in all the time. And yeah, Omega's, I mean, the Ahsoka show is going to be really interesting because that is literally going to address, hey, where you been, man? Like that whole thing of like Ezra and Thrawn get sucked into space whales for the period of Return of the Jedi, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back.
Uh-huh.
And then apparently, I don't know for sure, I don't know, I haven't read any spoilers, I'm just speculating, but they have cast Ezra. So that is going to be a show that directly involves that, where they come, did they come out and they go, oh, wow, you wouldn't believe what happened. Like, the Empire's gone. Darth Vader had a son who became a Jedi Knight. Turns out, remember Leia Organa? She's, I don't even know if people know all this. That, who knows what in the Star Wars galaxy is always interesting as well. But, you know, basically they'll come out, the Empire's gone now and there are Jedi Knights around. And what does that mean? And that's going to be an interesting one, that Ahsoka show.
Yeah, you're right. I never really thought about all those pieces and what that would be like for the characters involved, specifically Ezra and Thrawn, that
they've come out of a coma, like that Simpsons gag where the guy comes out of the coma and he's like, does Sonny and Cher still have that stupid show? And it's like, she won an Oscar and he's a congressman. And he's like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Somebody should meme that. Someone should put Ezra's head on that thing and you're like, what have I missed? You're like, dude, Darth Vader still have this. Like, well, he died and so-and-so is a whatever. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Ewoks destroyed the Empire.
You need to do that. That's just right up your alley. Right.
I've got to get ahead of the game now before someone else. Yeah.
Well, listen. That out before this. Very few people listen to this show anymore. So I think you're safe. You know, you've got a little bit of time at least. But I don't know how they're going to wrap up Omega's story. I have wondered if they would have her meet Boba Fett at some point. Like in the period this takes place in, he would still be a kid. Well, no, not. Yeah, I mean, a kid. Daniel Logan, wouldn't he?
Yeah. It's weird because we've got this timeline, this, you know, Star Wars timeline is this period of time. That currently has a somewhat of a beginning and the end point being the Rise of Skywalker or the Lego stuff, if you want to get really particular. That's the last point in time that we know what happens. But because we drop these stories in everywhere, our time, real time, just runs on. So, you know, what happens to Omega has already happened in the Star Wars timeline. We just don't know, but we're waiting for the real life production to tell us what these things are
right,
and to basically slot them in. So her life story, we have to wait in Earth time to be plugged into Star Wars time because they only invented it like 4 years ago. But of course she'll have some important job to do. You know, who knows? She might've end up in the Battle of Jakku or something, or she could have been the one flying the spaceship that had Rey's parents in it. You know what I mean? Like there could be any kind of, that's a good idea. Any kind of crazy thing that could be going on that we just don't know about yet where they slot her in.
Oh my gosh, man. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be like Forrest Gump where there's just all this.
She's in the back.
Yeah, historical footage. She turns out she was in a ton of it. We just never noticed.
Yeah, which is just around the corner behind it. But they just sort of put her in the end. I think she's a really good character. I don't know whether they'll, I mean, there's a lot of rumors that, you know, that she's force sensitive and all that kind of stuff. And I know that they are sort of furiously backpedaling a lot of this Star Wars content now is to try and make The Rise of Skywalker make sense, that it's got all this cloning stuff and force sensitivity and Grogu's blood and all that kind of stuff, all is all to try and make that stuff work. So I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, I hope they don't do that, though. Oh, man, do I ever. Well, okay, so speaking of The Rise of Skywalker, excellent segue. We have been talking about the likelihood of the next Star Wars movie in cinemas. And unfortunately, there was some news regarding this. I'm pretty sure it came from Variety, that the Kevin Feige and the Patty Jenkins projects are completely shelved. And which, I mean, we just had not that long ago that whole Patty Jenkins thing that no, it's just been pushed back and blah, blah, blah. But the word is that it's not in development anymore. The end.
Was that announced pre-COVID?
Her show? Or her movie, I mean?
Yeah.
When was did it they do that?
Excuse me.
Man, I'm just
trying to remember because Rise of Skywalker came out end of 2019. So it was just before COVID hit. So it must have been, and I don't think we knew anything about it because they wouldn't announce a movie when another one's coming out.
No, it had to be after. Yeah.
So I know COVID obviously knocked it around, but I think they're just a little spooked about coming back after so long. They want to come back big. And I just think that they probably thought Rogue Squadron quite wasn't big enough. Maybe I'm wrong. That's what I always kind of felt. Like, I felt like if we were doing we're doing a Star Wars movie every year, a saga and a spin-off, Rogue Squadron would slot in really nicely. But if you haven't done Star Wars movies for 5 years and you're trying to get everybody back to the cinema, I think you need to go a bit bigger.
Yeah, I agree.
You probably need some legacy characters or some sequel characters, or you need to call Daisy Ridley and John Boyega and drive a dump truck of money up to their house and give them a Disney Fast Pass for life and say, you know.
I think that's what it would take. So it looks like Taika Waititi, he intends to star in his own movie. Now, that's what it says, star in his own movie, not be the star of the movie. So, I mean, I think he's funny. I really enjoy his personality.
If I got to make a Star Wars movie and I was a half competent actor, I think I would put myself in that Star Wars movie.
Absolutely, man.
Absolutely. Maybe not front and center. Maybe I'd be under a mask or, you know, put an X-Wing pilot helmet on me or something, but I don't think I could help myself. Could you imagine those calls if I got announced as the director of Star Wars tomorrow? The phone would light up like, hey, so, you know, any chance of getting your old mate Struthers a walk on in Star Wars?
You got that right, man. Here's the bad thing, though, is if I were to do that, I would end up looking like Pee Wee Herman on the end of Pee Wee's Big Adventure when he's in the movie about his own life. Are you familiar with it?
I just feel like you would just walk on just looking... You're looking at the screen. I'd have to send you all to the Steele Saunders School of, you know, background extras or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Train you.
But then just like him, every time that scene was on, I would film myself watching it and laughing maniacally because that's what he does now with his appearances in commercials and whatnot. Which, good on him, man.
That would be great if you could just bring all your friends in like that. Like you just go, well, we obviously need a cantina scene in this Star Wars movie. I'm going to need extras. And so I'm just going to invite 20, for the purpose of security, I'm going to invite 25 Star Wars podcasters to a Star Wars set. Surely nothing could go wrong.
Yeah. The news won't get out. So yeah.
No.
But oh my gosh, that'd be something. I would, to be able to say I was in a Star Wars, that'd be pretty amazing, man. I would have a hard time not being emotional about that.
Well, there's a good chance that if Taika films his, he'll film it in Sydney just because he filmed Thor in Sydney. It's in the Southern Hemisphere. Disney own the studios in Sydney now where they filmed the prequels. It's very likely it could end up being filmed there. So, I mean, Sydney's not exactly close to Melbourne. It's a lot closer for our friend Turbo. But who knows, you know, if I... save up some bank and I don't even know how that works. Apply to extras things, ask somebody in the know. You could find a way somehow. I don't know.
That'd be great. I'd love it. I'd bring my own lightsaber. I'd make it myself. Well, are you dying for a Star Wars movie in theaters, or are you just cool with cruising along with streaming for right now?
It's time. It's time. I saw Avatar 2 at the cinema at the end of last year. And, you know, I don't go to the cinema heaps these days, but, you know, and I thought the movie was as good as the first one, which I think was fine, but I was very much like, this is the sort of scale that Star Wars should be on, mm-hmm. at least some of the time. Like, it's still those Star Wars nights, those midnight premiere nights are still the best nights. And we did, the closest we had to that down here was when the Kenobi finale, they put it on at IMAX down here in Melbourne for the finale, and Steele was in town. He hooked us up. He got a contact with a bunch of seats. So a whole bunch of us got to go, and it was the closest we'd had to a Star Wars night as far as like getting there and, you know, the excitement and sitting in the theater and not knowing and having that experience. And that's, you know, that's the fun of it. And, you know, the trailers and the merch and all the speculating and stuff. And I know the shows are good and we get more of it, but it is something special. And I think that's why it's taking so long. I think that's why they're shelving some of these things. They're just like, we've got to come out of the blocks hard and say, we are ready for the cinema. We've got the story. We've got the plan. Mm-hmm. We are ready to go for the next 10 years of Star Wars movies. We can't be like looking that we don't have any idea this time. We've got to brush those criticisms aside and be like, I don't know. At like Celebration, they're doing a Lucasfilm panel. I don't know whether they'll announce a trilogy or anything, but I think the surefire thing is that they'll announce some kind of movie.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be next year, the end of next year. So they'll give them 18 months. They might be like, starts filming tomorrow. And here's Daisy Ridley, everybody. You have permission to go crazy. Like, who knows?
Oh, my gosh. So are they still intending for the end of 2024, or is it the end of... Because they're originally on the odds, right? It was supposed to be 2023, 2025. Because the Avatar movies are coming out.
When does Avatar come out?
So Avatar came out on 2022, right? So that would put its next one at 2024. Because I think those were supposed to be 2-year intervals.
Yeah, so maybe it still is 25. I'd have to have a look. Because there's no Celebration next year, too. So right. It must be 25 because there is no way they wouldn't have a Celebration in a movie year.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So where do you think the next Celebration is going to be? Let's talk about that.
I think it'll definitely be back in America. Yeah. I don't think they're going to go. The funny thing was that I was when I had Jess Schrader on a few weeks ago, we were talking about Celebrations. And we were sort of going down the list of because we're wondering how long they'd been between some of the gaps between Celebration. I didn't realize that one year they did Europe and America like weeks apart. Like they did one
really
in Indiana, and I think they did London. Yeah, like a month later or 2 or 3 weeks later, which is crazy. But look, I kind of think that there's no way that they can miss America again. I think Americans would lose their minds if they had to wait till 2026 or something.
Do you think...
I mean, Orlando sort of feels like the logical one, mm-hmm. although Disney and Florida aren't exactly getting along at the moment.
No, so they
might
not.
Go back to Chicago. They might go back to Chicago, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it definitely won't be in St. Louis, which is, I mean, I'm glad.
It definitely won't be in Australia.
I'd rather it not be here, just because I would love for it to be in Australia. I would love to go there. And, I mean, I want to anyway. But
yeah, I mean, we've definitely got the facilities. It's just the cost. I think of putting it on here. I think just shipping everybody over and trying to fly people all that way. And you know, if you're doing it in London, there's enough London-based production stuff there. I mean, if they were shooting Taika's movie in Sydney, maybe you could do it. If the movie that was coming out in 2025, mm-hmm. and you had some cast there, and he was there, and there was enough of it, but yeah, it kind of feels like it's going to go back to America. But that's all right. We'll go. We'll go wherever we need to go, Eric. You know us. We pack up. We, especially after taking a year off.
Realistically, do you think that Celebration would ever be like in Tokyo, for example? Because I was thinking about that as a potential, but then I thought the likelihood of a Star Wars Celebration being in a country that the primary language isn't English would probably not be very likely.
But I think they've done it, haven't they?
Have they?
Didn't they do a Tokyo? And I think they've done a one in Germany as well.
Yeah, they did.
I went through
one
this list
Germany
quite recently. Anyway. Because I had Tom Sutton on, and he said he went to Celebration Tokyo. I think on a whim because he was living there.
Oh,
and the thing
my
that I
gosh,
realized
that's
as
right.
Well, yeah, the thing I realized was going through that list of all the celebrations was that there was a celebration in London when I lived in London, and I had no idea that it was on.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, it was post Revenge of the Sith, but it wouldn't have been that much past it. So it just kind of came and went. I can't believe that after all the jumping around to, you know, go to celebrations and there was one in a town I lived in and it just passed me by.
So that's the sort of thing that I would do though. It happened right next to me. I wouldn't even know. But
you're like, you must have had the best time at Celebration St. Louis, Eric. You're like, what?
What now?
I didn't get
sure?
out of the basement. What?
Oh my gosh. I want it to be further away so I can enjoy the travel to it and getting away. It's one of the best parts of it, but I'll definitely go in 2025. I can't imagine a scenario where I wouldn't. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll front up. You know, we'll buy the tickets and things. It's been pretty smooth. There's been a few hiccups with the store last weekend. It's kind of funny just because there's so many people who aren't going that a lot of the social media stuff about the hiccups are just not cutting through. You know what I mean? Like normally when right. something goes wrong in Chicago or Anaheim, it's all like all this stuff because it's, I guess, so European based and, you know, us Australians and stuff, a lot of it's, so there's some of the badges went on sale and we couldn't get them and there was some sort of thing, but they'll work all that out.
Yeah.
I've kind of tried to make sure all the merch stuff that I'm taking over has all been organized ahead of time with all this time to spare this time after what happened the last year.
Yeah.
So that's worked out quite well. But yeah, I'm expecting a good time. It's going to be cold, but it'll be good. But it won't be Chicago cold.
You'll have a good time, man. It'll be great. And I hope that I end up with one of the beanies. I've got one
that's right. Like I've got it. I'm looking at the box right now, Eric. So it is right there. So friend Sean Hoffman, I think he's going to be muling a bunch back.
Good.
So I think he's doing a mail out. Of about half a dozen of them, I think. So there are details to come, but they've all been. I have a little list of everybody of, you know, who wants them, and yeah, there was only a few left actually. Like I was kind of thought, like I'm gonna get 20, and it was because I changed suppliers after what happened last time.
Uh-huh.
The one that I went with now, I had to do like as normally I do 50,
mm-hmm.
And then this time, and I've always sort of checked before I've done it. And then this time I had to, because I wanted to get it done earlier, I had to do a minimum order of 50. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just do it and hope for the best and hope that there's enough people that want them. Otherwise, well, kind of be holding the can. But no, there's only probably 6 or 7 that aren't accounted for yet, which isn't many random give outs.
Well, so, I mean, here's the deal. Maybe it'll be a freak cold snap, like even worse than expected while you're there, and you'll be able to unload those things for $50 a pop.
Supply and demand, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll offload. They always do. And there's always a few people. I've actually had a few people who listen to my podcast that I don't know, believe it or not, who are kind of like, I think I'll be there, you know. And I said, look, if you want it and you're happy to cover the cost for it, like, that's fine. That's all I ask. So, yeah, they'll go in the bag and then the bag will be empty and then it can get filled up with goodies from Celebration.
Well, listen, the last thing I'll say about Celebration, since I don't get to go, anybody who's listening to this, who's going to Celebration and never has, or you have, and you've told any variation of the story that, yeah, I saw you and I wanted to say hi, but insert for reason here, I didn't. Don't do that. Just come and say hello.
Come say hi.
That's
absolutely
the whole reason people go to these things. And, you know.
To be noticed.
Why
you do podcasting for 3 years on the hope chance that someone will stop you and tell you that you like their podcast.
Yeah.
Which is how I met Sean Hoffman last year. I didn't know Sean and he just stopped me when we were coming out of a panel and just introduced himself. And and it was great. It was just nice. And a few people do that and you kind of forget that people listen.
Well, and it's
very cool.
And it's... There is an element of that, that's for sure. But it's just like the people go to those things to meet other fans. That's the whole reason. If I wanted to just wax poetic about how great Star Wars is with the people I know, I wouldn't have to, you know, I wouldn't have to go. But we go to those things to meet like-minded people. And so, yeah, anyway, that's all. That's all I got for you.
Yeah, I've done the same thing, you know. And even some somewhat famous people on the floor, I've just sort of stopped and shoved some stickers in Bobby Moynihan's hands and stuff like that, and you know, things like that. It's cool, and people are usually nice. And I like also that. I mean, this sounds bad because obviously there aren't as many Americans going, but I like the fact that it's in another country. People who don't get to go, who probably haven't been to a bunch of them, who are in Britain and stuff, will get to go and have an awesome time as well, which is. Yeah. That's all about. It's a bit of a bummer it's not doing. If they had done it next year, we would have just sucked it up and gone again. Like if they'd done 2024 and it was Chicago, we would have been like, yep, we'll make it happen because we just love going. And also because we're missing so many of you guys this time, it'd be like, well, hopefully everybody will come back, but we'll just have to wait that little bit longer. But it's like, God, like, you know, Hawes I haven't seen since Chicago 2019, and it's going to be 6 years likely until I see Hawes. And Cruiser as well, you know, who wasn't in Anaheim as well, and other, you know, there were still people from that one who didn't make it last time. So it's a long time between drinks, as they say.
Yeah, that's for sure. What was I getting? Oh, have you been watching The Last of Us?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't watched the final episode yet. So
I've played the game, so I knew how it was going to go down, but I watched it with Kat and it was a slightly tough sell, but it wasn't, you know, I just said, hey, we should watch this show. I hear it's amazing. It's based on this amazing video game. And right then I could just see her eyes glazing over. And I just said, look, no. Like if it's what I think it is, I think it's going to be great. And it's got Pedro Pascal in it and we're back.
You know, right. Yeah.
That, we got it back over the line.
Reeled her in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, at least for the pilot. Yeah. You know, and then she just enthralled.
Once Nick Offerman was in what I guess the third episode, I believe, I got Amanda to watch the show and she was instantly hooked. And so, we haven't watched the final episode yet. As of this recording, it came out about 24 hours ago.
Yeah, it just came out last night, yeah.
So yeah. I haven't had a chance to watch it, but I sure have been enjoying the show. And I haven't played the game. I sort of know what's going to happen because one of my butthole friends sort of ruined it for me. But, but I mean, I still don't know details.
It doesn't hit any less.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm figuring.
You know, the way it goes doesn't, yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to it. It's probably some of the best TV there is, and that's impressive. That's saying a lot. The great performances, well, the
Nick
great
Offerman
story.
Episode, that Nick Offerman episode, like, you know, Kat was in, we watched the pilot, she was invested in the story and Ellie and Joel and everything, you know, and she's a crier, like she's a movie crier, like she cried in Force Awakens, you know, like stuff will set her off.
Oh, me too. But I get it. That's me.
She looked broken, like by the end of that Nick Offerman episode, like I hadn't seen, like she was like almost on the floor, like it really, really got to her. Like, I'm like, oh, you know, was Nick Offerman your dad? And I didn't realize this was it, you know, was it some sort of thing like, you know, thing like that? It's just excellent, and it's, amazing how faithfully they'd adapted it. Mm-hmm. It, you know, because you spend a lot of the game shooting at army people and shooting at clickers and zombies and stuff like that. And they've kind of streamlined a lot of that. And I don't think it needs that. I think some people are kind of going, oh, you know, there's not enough clickers and stuff. And I'm like, it's just sort of the setting. I think if every episode was just running and shooting and stuff, it wouldn't be the same. It would just lose its luster, I think.
Right. Do you watch Saturday Night Live at all, ever?
We do a bit, actually. Saturday Night Live is such a weird show in Australia because everybody knows it and most people know of it, but it was never shown commercially in Australia. So for years and years and years, in a pre-streaming world, we had like four or five channels, like 10, 7, 9, 2, and the regional stuff. And then digital channels, you got a little bit more. Saturday Night Live was never shown through the 70s, 80s on regular TV, which is baffling to me that it wasn't just shown. I guess, you know, back in the day it was harder to transport shows over, but even if they showed them on delay, like who cares? It's just really bizarre. But like everybody knows Adam Sandler and Will Ferrell and all those people. They all know they came from Saturday Night Live, and Eddie Murphy, and people know all these things. And I think the show finally made its way onto pay TV maybe in the late 90s and things. And we've watched, yeah, we watch it semi-regularly. I'll download it. If it's somebody that we know.
Did you see the Pedro Pascal episode?
Yeah. If it's like an American sports star or something, I'm like, I don't know who that is. But yeah. we did see the Pedro Pascal one. Yeah. Yeah. So
Amanda and I are the same way. We'll watch it just at random when certain people that we like are the hosts. And so we watched just some of the sketches of that. And the Mario Kart one they did. Where it's like another prestige TV dystopian wasteland. It's a me, Mario. That was so good. I thought that was very well done. But
are your kids pumped for the Mario movie? My daughter's very excited.
You know what? I don't know that they've even seen the trailers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, like we don't play a lot of, like I have a video game on the go, but I'll usually play when they go to bed or, you know, when the kids aren't around. We have a Switch. Olive likes, like she loves playing Mario, but we don't. It'd be lucky if she plays once a week, once a fortnight on stuff. But she loves Mario stuff. You know, she is excited about this movie, which is kind of weird because, again, she plays it on the regular, but she's been talking about it for ages. So it's school holidays here in a few weeks and she's like, take me to that Mario movie.
Well, we don't have a Switch. And so the kids have never really played any Nintendo stuff. They know who Mario is, but I don't know that we'll go see it. I suspect Henry would want to go if he saw the trailer, but we'll have to see. But no, we haven't been like screaming for it or anything.
Could be one for a Saturday night streaming kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
Just got the kids at home.
Yeah when it would suit us. So we try to do that on like Friday or Saturday night. We'll have the family movie night. And that's when we end up like just last week we watched Shazam. I had never seen it. The one that came out in what, 2019?
Yeah, yeah.
We finally watched it.
I saw that in San Francisco after Celebration, Chicago. I went to San Francisco for a week and Catherine was there for a few days as well. And we went to like the Lucasfilm, Lucasfilm offices and everything. And then one evening with nothing going on, I'm like, oh, we'll go see Shazam. So we went and saw Shazam with about three other people in the cinema. It was all right.
Yeah, I thought it was good, man. And my kids liked it too. So that was cool. And that's probably how we'll end up seeing the Mario movie, but you never know.
Yeah.
But
it's a lot easier. I mean, you're a similar generation to me of traditionally spending an hour and a half at the video store for the kids trying to agree on a video when you're growing up, you know, for the movie night until your dad gets fed up and just says, all right, you're all just watching this and that's all it is. And yeah, that's how you end up watching Major Pain or something that evening or something along those lines.
Our the last episode of Dinner with the Healers, the Bluey podcast, we did shops where the kids are out in the woods and they're going to play shops. And every time they try to get started, Bluey puts the brakes on and she's like, no, wait, this, and this. And we were talking about things in our own life that compare to that. And one of the things I mentioned was when we're trying to pick a movie for family movie night, nobody can agree on anything. And it's all four of us going, no. And finally, we'll have three people on board with something. And one of the people, it's always Stella, by the way, has to put like, no, and here's why. And it's like, by the time we finally get done, everybody's just like watching it out of spite by whatever we pick. Just begrudgingly, fine.
Watch something, you know, like if we just go, we can do a movie, they're just like, oh, we can do a movie because it's just, you know, they'll do kids shows in the mornings on weekends and that's about it. But I do know that I've seen some of the episode titles for the second half of season three of Bluey coming up and there's an episode called Cricket and I really can't wait to hear what you guys say about cricket because I know Americans know nothing about the sport of cricket. So I'm hoping, I'm really curious to see, you know, if you're kind of going like, they start talking about leg before or, you know, sticky wickets or all these sort of weird acronyms that that cricket has. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah,
no hints, not until you've recorded it. There will be no explanations.
Yeah, I won't look into it ahead of time. But at the rate we're going, if we're doing them in release order, that it'll be a solid while before we get to it. But, you know, there was one episode.
Like you'll just be behind.
Yeah, there was one episode where they were play. It was the one where Uncle Stripe and Bandit have to dress up as their horses and they have to get married. Anyway, they're trying to catch the cricket match and they keep going in. And that was the only time we mentioned cricket. And I was very upfront with the fact that I don't know anything about it.
Have you seen the episode you must have seen all the episodes, even if you haven't reviewed them. The one where they watch the football together, and there's like the Maroons and the Blues, and Lucky's mum goes for the other team. Have you seen that? Have they shown that one in? Maybe they haven't shown that in America yet. Maybe not.
I can't remember.
They're all watching the football match, and they're not all, and everybody's going for one team except for Lucky's mum, and Lucky doesn't know who to go for. I feel like I don't want to explain it too much, but basically there's this rugby, which is what for football they have in the Northern States. We have Australian rules football. They have this thing called State of Origin, because they have like a league. So it would basically be like if, I guess it's almost like East versus West, but the two biggest rugby states in the country have this thing where it's if you're from New South Wales or you're from Queensland, you represent that team when they do like a three series game in the middle of the football season. And it's like the biggest thing, basically, State of Origin. So because Bluey said in Queensland, they're all supporters of the Maroons, the Queensland team. And Lucky's mum is from New South Wales, so she's from like the opposite team. So there's this whole sort of thing about which team does Lucky go for, because his mum goes for one team and goes for the other. That's very, you know, niche to Australia. I don't think that would carry over. I mean, you get the idea. It's no different to England.
Well, sure, yeah.
Opposing teams.
Because we're not big sports people in our house. I used to be when I was young, and for the last, I don't know, 20 years, I have not been. And it's funny. So yeah, that name of that episode is The Decider. And yep. I am trying to find out.
It was a tool, yeah.
Like what season that was in. Because there's a handful. Okay, that was in season 3, episode 37. So no, that's not on Disney Plus yet.
Oh, I'm spoiling it. Well, not really. I haven't told you what happens, but yeah.
But, you know, I found out too, there are some Bluey eps that aren't on Disney Plus. And then you turn me on to the fact that like there's just some stuff that's edited out for Disney Plus.
Oh, the horse pooing one?
Yeah. Which I showed my kids, and I mean, they were dying laughing. But it changes the
so
tone.
Good. I can't believe that.
It changes the tone of whole thing. Because when you see it without, it's like just the sweetest. You're so beautiful. And
yeah, it's just so beautiful. It just cuts right through the treacle. You know, it's excellent.
Yeah.
Good. Well, yeah, everybody's pretty pumped that Bluey's back in a few weeks in Australia.
We love Bluey. Love it. My dream is to get Joff Bush in an interview episode with just me and talk music.
I think it's doable.
Yeah.
I reckon it's doable.
I've interacted with him a couple times, man. And I, you know, because I was trying to get him to, hey, man, here's the cover of the theme I did with guitar and bass. You know, that was like my entry in there. But anyway.
Nice. Well,
Josh, thanks so much for coming on, man. I know, like, with the time difference, it's pretty wild. It's getting late in the evening for me, and it's the middle of the work day for you. But I appreciate you taking time out to come over to the Bad Motivator Land and fill in for Luke.
My pleasure. It's just nice to chat. Like, it's a bummer Cruiser isn't here, but just to catch up with you, knowing that I won't see you in Celebration. And we had a few faux pas in the middle of the recording process, some very unlikely mishaps, but we got through it, which is good, and it wasn't too bad. But no, it's just great. Just great to chat. It hasn't actually been that long. It's only been just over a year since we caught up, but it'll be a little bit longer with you not coming to London unless you win that competition. But hopefully. You know, just come for an Australian holiday. We'll take you down the beach.
Dude, I would love to.
Take you on my dad's boat.
Oh, my God. I want to come.
My dad's got a – mum and dad have got a catamaran. You can come out on the boat and swim off the boat and fish and come and do it next summer.
That would be awesome. I would love to come to Australia. It's been a dream of mine for long before the whole Star Wars was back and all of this, man. So one of these days, I would love to come and visit. But well, listen, tell everybody where they can find your excellent podcasts and where they can find you if they want to follow your shenanigans.
Sure. My Star Wars podcast is called Star Wars Spelt Out. So it's sort of like an interview. We just have friends on most weeks talking about what's going on. We're in Andor. We were in Andor season. We're in Mando season now, where I've got Catherine from That Geek Pod, Matt Mole from 3 Men and a Baby Yoda, and Dale Williams from It's True. And I think he was running Starwalking for a while. I don't think he is anymore, though. I think he's at Rebel Legion now. But anyway, so they all jump on. We talk Mando because Mando drops in the evenings here, so we can pretty much watch it and get it out quite quickly. And then hopefully we're doing some blog pods from Celebration again, just sort of kicking around doing little happenings of the day. And if you like Peppa Pig, if you like Bluey and you want something not quite as clever, Peppa Pig, that I review the episodes of Peppa Pig with my buddy Matt Frost, which is way more successful than my Star Wars one, because the trick is that no one else has made a Peppa Pig podcast. When you're the only game in town, Eric, you know, when you invent grunge, And you're the first out the gate.
That's right. That's right. Well, right on, man. Right on. So, guys, listen. You can follow this show on Twitter, should you so desire, at @bad_motivators. There's a whole bunch of other crap in the show description, patreon.com/thebadmotivators and so on. And there's really nothing left to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Later.
The Bad Motivators.